All right. Go ahead and take your Bible and let's go to Matthew chapter 1. You remember who we talked about last week? This is a pop quiz. Who did we talk about last week? Oh, my word. Important person in the Christmas story. Mary, remember, we talked about Mary. Oh. And we talked about the fact that she displayed trust. She trusted the Lord. Well, we're going to talk about another key figure in the Christmas story, and that's Joseph. Joseph. Boy, you all would have failed that quiz. Oh, man. So we're in Matthew chapter 1 and verse 18. And the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise, when as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. Father, I pray for the word of God to just take hold of our hearts and speak to us. May your Holy Spirit make it live and apply to us in Jesus' name. Amen. So the emphasis we made last week was with Mary trusting God. Remember, she had gotten that message from the angel that she was going to bear a child, and that child would be the Savior. And she yielded and she trusted the Lord moving forward. What we're going to see in Joseph today is obedience. And those really go hand in hand. Trust and obedience go hand in hand. It's like two sides of the same coin. If you don't trust, you're not going to obey. And that's why we had the hymn, Trust and Obey. And because those two go together. And really, it has to go in that order as well. You need to begin with trust, and then obedience will spring from that. And so sometimes when you're taking journeys, and this happened a lot around here lately, but you'll see a sign on the side of the road, and it's usually bright orange, and it has the word detour, okay? And no one is excited about that, because what does that mean? Well, it means, one, there's going to be a change in your plans, and maybe your time schedule is going to be interrupted. You had it planned to the minute when you were going to get there, and this use of the detour takes you longer than the direct route. And so there's a change of plans, and it means you may be going in a different direction. And it wasn't what you planned on. No one plans on detours. No one plans on changes. And we like to map things out, and we like to have everything planned for the week. Young people like to have their life. They want their life planned out. And they want everything planned out. But you know what? God sometimes puts in our journey of life a detour, and that's going to happen to Joseph. When I went off to Bible college, I knew God had called me to preach, and I knew He wanted me to pastor, and so I went through college. And so, one of the big things they really push on you, and they say, "Listen, now," they would say in preacher boys, "guys, you need to get a wife, you need to get married, you need to find somebody." So, you know, you're out there looking. Well, nothing happened. And it wasn't for lack of effort, okay? The Lord just didn't open the door. So I thought, wow, here I am, my senior year. What am I going to do? Someone says, "So what are you going to do?" I don't know. Second semester, what are you going to do? I'm not sure. So I had a lot of interviews. I had some interviews with some pastors, some of them pastors that some of you know. And they said, "Well, man, we'd love to have you come and be part of our staff, but you're not married." I said, "Yeah, you're right, I'm not." And I realized that there was a big detour coming. So graduation day came, and I still didn't know what I was doing. So I went, and I was going to stay with some guys from my church down in Georgia, South Georgia. I'm from a different part of the state than the Powells. But we always thought that was the big city part, so up in Atlanta. But anyway, so I went there and was going to stay the summer, and I didn't know what I was going to do. But then I got a telegram from a ministry in Louisville, Kentucky, and they wanted me to come teach in a Bible college and a Christian school. And I thought, I never thought about doing that. The guy said, I'm going to come see you. This is back in the days of telegrams, okay? When I tell this story to kids, they look at me like, what is that? Okay, so we didn't have emails, and we didn't have texts, and we didn't have any of that. We just letters, and that was a telegram. So he came, and he's talking to me about this mission. Never been there in my life, never heard of it. And as he talked, the Lord just said, you know what, this is it. Really? And so it was. This was a big detour. So I left my friends. I didn't have a car. I had to go back down to Georgia, buy a car, drove up to Louisville, Kentucky, and started in that ministry. And that's where I met Martha. And that was a good detour. When I tell this story, Martha said, well, it's a good thing you didn't find a wife while you were in college. You wouldn't have found me. And I said, that's true. And God's detour in my life, and then from there, after 3 years, I ended up in Charleston, South Carolina. And that's another story. There's a lot of stories. But the point is that what seemed to be at the time a terrible thing, to say, wow, this is not what I came to college to prepare to do this, and I'm not going to be doing this. But God's detour was perfect. And Joseph's going to face a big detour in his life, and we're going to see how he handles that. Detours will disrupt us and disrupt our plans. And a lot of times there's no option, okay? There was no option for me. Usually with a detour, sometimes they say roads closed, detour. I say, well, they don't really mean that. They're just saying that. Have you ever done that? So you just go around that thing and you go there. They really meant that. there's no road here left. Oh, I got to turn around and go back. Now, a few times I found they really didn't mean it, and I could keep going, but those were few and far between. But I guess what they said when the road was closed and rode out, that was true. So you go back, and there's no option. You have to take that detour. But really, you don't. You don't really have to take the detour. You could choose to turn around and go back where you came from. Or you could just choose not to wait it out. I don't know. But a detour, sometimes the only option is to go there or not to go. And Joseph will face that. And so Joseph probably had a plan in his mind, in his life with Mary. But God's going to change things big time. Big time. In his life. And so when God brings detours in our life, and he will, and he does, what do we do? How do we respond to that? And so, you know, someone said, well, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, but so are his stops. And sometimes a detour is like a stop and a refocus, a redirecting, and that happens at times. And my response to that is important, and Joseph is going to face that, and we'll see as we go through this, that Joseph responded to that in obedience. So look in verse 18, again, there's a distress here. He's going on, and he finds out that Mary, who he's engaged to, before they were come together, was found with child, they probably had plans, Joseph and Mary, I'm sure, even the wedding plans. A marriage in that day was a big deal. There would be days of feasting and celebration and pageantry, and all that was certainly in their plans. But those plans are going to be interrupted big time. In the verse it says, before they came together. So their marriage had not yet been consummated. And so the fact that she was pregnant, and that's a problem. And there's going to be a lot of reproach and shame of people. All kinds of stories are going to fly, and all kinds of rumors are going to be going. And he would know that. On top of that, Joseph knew that's not his child. He said, what is going on? You know, here's Mary. Well, wonderful plans. We're going to get married. And now I find out she's pregnant, and I know it's not my baby. And I don't know if he thinks whose baby it is. The word doesn't tell us what he thinks about that. But we know the child was of the Holy Ghost, and this conception was supernatural. He's going to find that out a little later, but right now all he knows is that she is pregnant and they're engaged. And the Holy Spirit will come and overshadow Mary with his power, and she'll mother a child even though she was still a virgin. And this will be a miracle. It is a miracle. This conception is miraculous, and that will provide the Savior who will be fully God but fully man. That had to happen. But Joseph, he doesn't know all this. We don't know all the details. I didn't know all the details in the detour that God had in my life. I didn't know all the details. I just knew that there was a detour. And that's why I said earlier that obedience really hinges on trust. Because I really need to trust God and just follow his leadership and follow his prompting, follow the door that he opens, and just trust him to work things out. And Joseph will later on learn some of these details, but at the moment he doesn't know that this will be the God-man, and he'll be the one who will be the perfect, spotless Lamb of God for us. He'll be a man without sin, and he could provide the substitute that we needed for our sins. So he'll die in our place. But at this point, he didn't know that. He didn't know that. God doesn't tell us everything at every step. And sometimes that's good. Sometimes that's good. We want to know all the details of everything, and God just gives us one step at a time. So here's a dilemma. How would you have dealt with that? Put yourself in Joseph's place. We would have just, you know, exploded maybe. With that. Man, what is going on? You know, he may have been hurt, may have been disappointed, disillusioned. All kind of emotions may have gone on through him. But he makes a decision in verse 19. So God's word says he was a just man, and he didn't want to make her a public example, so he was going to put her away privately. So he was a just man. That doesn't mean he was perfect, but he was godly. He was a godly man. He had godly character, and he just wanted to do the right thing. He didn't want to hurt Mary. He didn't want to bring reproach on her. And now in the Old Testament days, when this happened, what they would do is they'd take that woman, probably stone her, kill her. Now by this time, what they would do is they would have like a trial, and then they could give them a bill of divorcement. And and he didn't even want to do that. He didn't want to make it a public spectacle. He didn't want to hurt her. This says so much about Joseph, so much about the person he was, and so much about his character. And even though he's disillusioned, I'm sure hurt, and wondering what's going on, he's not seeking to hurt her, even though at this point he may have thought, she's hurt me. And how we respond to disappointment, hurts, really says a lot about us. It says a lot about our godliness, our walk with God. We will get hurt in life. You can't live and live among people without getting hurt. And the issue is not the hurt, it's what you do with the hurt, okay? You can let God heal the hurt. Really, God is the only one who can heal hurts of the heart. But sometimes we let that hurt fester, and it becomes a bitterness and later anger. But Joseph, I don't see that here. I don't see him being bitter. I don't see him being angry at all toward her. And he didn't want, if he was bitter and angry, he would want revenge. Or he would want to make an example of her, and he didn't want to do that. He didn't want to disgrace her publicly. And so he's a righteous man, but it also showed he had compassion. Even though this is turning his world upside down, obviously he still loved and cared for Mary. And he didn't want to hurt her. But he wanted to do what he felt was the right thing, even though it was hard to do that. So he's going to put her away privately. So that was an option at that time, and so his decision showed a lot of restraint. He could have made this a public example. He could have taken this thing public. Wasn't going to do that. How do we respond to circumstances and people that are hurtful? And so Mary's pregnancy wasn't in his plan, of course. That was a further thing from his mind. He never would have dreamed that in a million years, but here it is. But it was in God's plan. And we don't always understand God's plan initially for our own life. And other people certainly don't understand God's plan. Many times. And you probably have already experienced this. Most of us in here have been down the road a while, and God has led you to do things. And people say, what are you doing? What in the world? Why are you doing that? And you say, well, this is what God has led me to do. Are you crazy? No, this is God's leading. You got to be kidding. And so I learned long ago, good people, and they mean well, they're people who love you, care about you, and they want to be protective of you, and they're thinking they're trying to protect you from being hurt or being disappointed or whatever. But you say, I know this to be God's will. Well, it doesn't make any sense. And you say, well, it doesn't make sense to me either sometimes, but I know this is what God wants me to do. And as time unfolds, a lot of times they say, oh, yeah, now we see. Yeah, we can see what the Lord's doing. But if you wait for approval or understanding from others on what God's leading you to do, you're going to have a long wait. That doesn't always come. But God has a plan, and so Joseph's not an impulsive person either. And so he was moderate in his reaction, and he was compassionate. So, well, the Lord is going to, he's not going to keep him in the dark. God gives us light as we need light. He doesn't give us light that we don't need, but Joseph needs some answers, and the Lord's going to give them to him. So look, skip down there, a few verses, verse 20. But while he thought on these things, he's still thinking about it. You know, he hadn't done anything yet. He hasn't planned. This is his plan, and he's thinking about how he's going to privately put her away, and he's meditating on this and thinking about it. Behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. And all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophecy, saying, behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and he knew her not until she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. So there was a message in this dream, and it's concerning, first of all, the purity of Mary. In verse 20, the angel says not to take because what she had conceived, this child, the last part of the verse, is conceived in her, is of the Holy Ghost. And he's assuring her she's pure, and this child. Now, this is going to be a concept. It's going to be hard for him to, but he trusts God. He says, she's pregnant, yes, but that baby is of God, is of the Holy Spirit. Well, that's never happened before. No one's ever had this happen. And this is totally new. He's got to really trust the Lord. Yeah, right, sure. No, he believes. He will believe. We'll see in a moment he believed. Now, other people won't believe, but he will believe. And so Joseph's plan may have seemed to be good to him, but God had a different plan. He wanted to make sure that Joseph was on the right page, and so he's giving him this message through this angel. Sometimes in the day, the Lord would communicate with people with dreams, and this is what's happening here. And so Joseph was addressed here, is interesting here. He says he's addressed as the son of David there in verse 20. And showing this child would be in the lineage of King David, which is important. The Messiah was supposed to be there. That was part of the promise. And so Joseph's reassured that Mary's pregnancy was caused by the Holy Ghost. In other words, this pregnancy is of God. This is something that God has done. She hasn't been unfaithful. She's not impure. This is a miracle of God. And so he didn't need to fear. Now, I'm sure he knows that people are going to talk still. But, you know, if he knows that this is the will of God, if he knows that this is the work of God, and Joseph has such character, we'll see as he moves on, he really probably is not going to be concerned what people say, because people will talk and they will continue to talk really throughout the life of Christ. But he knows what is. It's so important that you know the will of God, and you know what God's doing, you know why he's calling you, and he's assured of that through God's word. And so he didn't have to fear what people would say. And if you know what God's will is and the direction he wants to take, you don't have to be rattled by what people say. And in our humanity, we like to be liked, we like people's approval, but sometimes it's just not going to happen. You know, at the college, and I say this a lot, and I say, young people come by and they pray for me, and I say, your greatest need is to know God's will for your life. That is your greatest need. And I understand where they come from. They want all the details. They want, okay, who am I going to marry? When am I going to get married? What am I going to do? I said, you get in the will of God. You submit yourself to God's will, and you take one step at a time. All those things will fall in place. But that's a big thing for us to submit to whatever God's will is. And I hope I can communicate to you how big a deal this is for Joseph to submit to this and for Joseph to be okay with this. This is a big deal. This is not a small thing. At best it's scandalous. Talk about the talk of the town. But you know what? That's going to fall by the wayside, because Joseph will be convinced that this is of God. And a message from heaven will certainly convince him of that. But sometimes, even when God makes things clear, sometimes we're not ready to embrace it, or we don't want to, or we think the price is too high, or the cost is too much. And we say, well, I can't do that. I don't want to go. Joseph is not that way at all. So he talks about the purity, then concerning the person within Mary. He talks about in verse 21 that she'll bring forth a son and call his name Jesus. So, one, he's saying this baby's a boy, it's going to be a son, and they're to name him Jesus. And so Joseph was to take the child and raise him as his own, and said, you're to name him. So that means you're going to be the father, you're going to raise him. And so that meant you proceed with this marriage. All that's implicit here. You proceed with this marriage, and you, when you come time to name him, you need to name him Jesus. And he would become legally Joseph's child and legally the son of David. Jesus, or Joshua, means Jehovah saves. And he would save his people from their sins. And that was a common name, of course, but it takes on a whole new concept when it's referred to Christ. So Joseph began to understand that there's a plan here. There's a reason for this detour. There's a reason for this disruption. There's a reason for the detour. God is going to bring, finally, the Messiah. Every Jewish person knew the Messiah was coming. They longed for the Messiah. They had heard prophecies. And now Joseph's hearing, well, he's coming, and you're going to take care of him. You're going to be his earthly father. Wow. That's amazing. And so, and of course, his virgin birth is important in God's plan, because the child had to be sinless, had to be a perfect sacrifice, and so this is essential in God's plan. And so Joseph didn't stick by. Remember, he already had a plan. He was going to privately put her away. And he was thinking about how he's going to implement that. And now, here's another change, okay, in the road. And so the change is that this is of God. And so he's going to adjust his plans to the plans of God. And so he took steps to obey God's word. When God makes his word clear to us, you know, we've got a few choices we can turn from, or we can turn to. So in verses 22 through 23, we see the prophecy about Mary. And so in verse 22, he said, now this is done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken to the Lord by the prophecy, saying, this is really a restatement of Isaiah 7:14, that a virgin would conceive, and that was promised. Well, the promise is coming to fulfillment. And that's one of the things I said last week. Remember I said, couple of things that Christmas reminds me of. One is God keeps his promise. God keeps his promise. He promised a Savior. He's coming. And so Isaiah, among many other prophets, had prophesied this. Here it is. God made the promise. God kept the promise. God makes promises to us. God keeps promises to us. And so the promise was real and the promise is being kept. And so here, the word here is that a virgin shall be with child. And that word doesn't mean just a young woman. It means one who is pure and never had a relationship with a man. And this is so critical and so important because the child had to be the God-man, had to be perfect and sinless. And so that is an important truth. And so he would also be known, she'll conceive, bear a son and call his name Emmanuel. Emmanuel, what does that word mean? God with us. God with us. And so not only was the promised Messiah, but he was also God. What does that word mean to you? Emmanuel, just the word Emmanuel, God with us. What does that mean to you? Somebody want to share that. What does that mean to you, that word Emmanuel? When you think of that concept, what does that mean? I'm sorry? We're never alone. He's with us. What else? Emmanuel. God's with us. Well, if God came to be with us so he could be within us, Emmanuel, just the idea of God himself being with us and he came in flesh, because today as a believer, we have Emmanuel, God with us because he's within us. What a wonderful truth that God is with us. And that is why he came, that God might be with us and we could have that restored fellowship and that restored walk with him, Emmanuel. And so this is a lot of information that Joseph's being given. Mary's going to have a child, the child's of God. The child will be the Messiah. He will be called Jesus. He's Emmanuel. He will be God with us. Amazing, all these truths, God with us. So what's going to happen? In verse 24, he got up from his sleep, and he said he took unto him his wife. What did he do? He obeyed God's word. He followed through on what had been said to him. And he did as he had been commanded. And so this is a good example for us. Joseph is such a good example of us that no matter how God speaks to us, it's always consistent with his word and it's to be obeyed. Joseph didn't say, wow, I really need to think about this. I need to go talk to somebody about this. I need to pray. He didn't do that. He did what God told him to do. He took Mary to be his wife, knowing all the fallout that would incur, and the talk and the rumors, and he knew all that, but he knew what God had said, and that was what was important. Knowing what God had said, he chose to obey what God had told him to do. Do you do that? Do I do that? Or do we weigh the cost or the consequence and say, well, if I do this, Joseph didn't go through all that. He didn't make, this list. Okay, on this side, the pluses, this side, the minuses. He didn't do that. You don't need to do that when God speaks. When God makes something clear to you, you just need to obey. There's times to pray about things and there's times not to. You don't have to pray about the revealed word of God. You just need to do it. And that's what he did. He did it. And that's to his credit. And what a godly man he was. And so when God's Holy Spirit leads, and of course the Spirit of God, the angel brought the message from God. And so today God leads us, not so much with an angel, but with his word and with the Spirit of God. And as an individual, God's Spirit leads us. He reveals to us God's word. And also he reveals to us God's will. What do you do with it? What do you do with it? And so Joseph's obedience to do what God asked him demonstrated really his godliness, his love for the Lord. And so after the word came, he was married Mary, and he didn't question God anymore. There's no more questions. He just moves on. And look at verse 25. And he knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son and called her name Jesus. And of course, the Catholics believe that Mary was a perpetual virgin, and this verse sort of shoots that down because they came together after the birth of Christ. And so Mary is a wonderful person, and we certainly honor her, but we don't venerate her, and we don't certainly don't worship her. And so Joseph obeyed the Lord. He took Jesus as his own child. So a couple things here. God interrupted Joseph's plans two ways, two big events here. His fiancée was pregnant with a child who wasn't his. That was a big bombshell. But it was of God. And sometimes when God intervenes in our life and does something, at first we think, wow, is this the Lord doing this? What is going on? But it was of God. And then the angel revealed to him that this child that was conceived was of the Holy Spirit. And it was a fulfillment of prophecy. Those are two big things that came in his life that really changed his life. And he was willing to get on board with the will of God. He aligned himself with God's plans and accepted God's interruption in his life. No one likes interruptions, okay? Maybe you're in your study, you got all your books out, and something calls or something, you think, oh, man. And no one likes interruptions. But God interrupts. He does. He'll interrupt our life, and he has things that he wants to show us, and he has things that he wants to communicate with us, and he has his will. So how can we be like Joseph and be faithful? Three thoughts I'm going to leave you with. First of all, you need to adjust your thinking. We all need to adjust our thinking. So sometimes we have a perspective on something that you know, we have our perspective, but it's out of sync with God's view. And I need to adjust my thinking and conform it to what God's will is and what he wants to do and get my thinking along the same page as his. What will it take for me to get myself aligned with God's will and with God's perspective? And a lot of times we're so busy thinking what I want to do or what I should do or how this should work out. And we need to pray and ask God to help us see things from God's perspective, not my perspective. And you see, it's the bottom line for the Christian life is the glory of God. And everything should work together to that ultimate goal. And so I need to get my thinker thinking right. And I need to think along lines that are consistent with God's word and also consistent with his revealed will. Adjust your trust. Joseph just had to really put trust in God. What God said was true. He's going to trust him. And when we believe God's sovereign and wise and loving, we will trust him. Had Joseph not obeyed, that would have demonstrated an absolute lack of trust. But Joseph, like Mary, trusted God. Do you trust? Sooner or later, your trust in God. We say we trust in God. Sooner or later, okay, let's see that. Let's see it. Absolute trust. How far will you go with God? How far will you? It's easy to trust in the obvious, but this wasn't obvious. And Joseph was willing to trust God. Are there areas in your life today, and I think we can all say this, are there areas in our life today that we just really need to trust God? We don't know how it's all going to fall in place. We don't quite understand how God's leading. We're not sure all the details. We're not sure the 1, 2, 3s. Well, you just trust God. And trust is a choice, okay? It's not the result of some emotional upheaval or whatever. You choose to trust. You choose to trust. And so adjust your thinking, adjust your trust. Then, following suit with that, adjust your obedience. I put it in that order because of that, because like I said earlier in our lesson, if you don't trust, you're not going to obey. You absolutely are not. So the essence of trust is obedience. So if you trust who God is, it's only natural to do what He says. So is there a specific area in your life right now that you're struggling with trusting God, obeying Him? Maybe it's something He wants you to do. Maybe it's something, some area of service, or maybe some area of surrender, or some direct, I don't know. But the Christian life is full of that. Maybe it's some valley He wants to walk with you through, whatever. You need to obey Him. And you say, you know, I trust you completely, so I'll obey you absolutely. And so Joseph didn't put off his obedience. When the truth was revealed to him, he acted upon it. Don't delay your obedience. When God makes it clear through His Word, through His Spirit working in you, we need to live in a life of obedience, life of obedience. So sometimes God does intervene in our life. Sometimes He disrupts our plans. That's a good thing. And we come face to face with a choice to obey God. Will you do that? Will you do that? As you celebrate the birth of our Savior this week, remember that God keeps His promises. Remember that He loves you. But remember also that the God who sent His Son did so at a great price for Himself, but also for Joseph and Mary. And that same God has a plan and a purpose for you, and His desire for you is that you obey and you submit to it. I trust you'll do that. Well, let's pray together. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the fact it's so practical, so practical. Lord, our flesh resists and wants to chafe. Help us, Lord, to quickly obey and yield to your perfect sweet will. Pray for the service to follow. Pray for Pastor that you would enable and empower him as he brings his word to us. Help us to be willing and ready receivers and then to respond obediently to your word. And in all that, we pray that you exalt your Son through the service. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you.